What's up? It's your man Kali, Fresh State, and you know what it is. It's the Hip Hop Digest Show.
Everybody want to go the easy route. Like, it's like, oh, this is what they doing, so let's do what they doing. We need more people to go left. And on top of that, hip hop was a form of education. Like, it's not that no more. You, even though you had the bling bling era, like I said, you at one time you could play 6 different records with 6 different messages from hip hop on the radio or in a dance. You can't do that now. All of them are about the same thing.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ Kane Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And I'm going to just be Ezo Grigio today. It's been a minute.
Ezo Grigio. That shit make me want to say, Sal, get me some pasta.
All right. What the fuck are we doing out here?
EVO on the side.
No doubt.
What's up, mans and them? Y'all good?
Weezy's good.
No doubt. Everything's good. Before we start the show proper, I want to give a shout out to Grayskull and Damon Deshaun, who is a wonderful person we had on the show, the last show we did. So shout out to the Gray, to the Skull.
Yes, sir.
And Damon Deshaun, no doubt.
Damon mentioned a new hoodie. I gotta get a new hoodie. I'm gonna be purchasing a new hoodie because mine, I don't think I did it right because my stuff is starting to come off on the front. So I gotta buy a new Grayskull hoodie.
Oh, my Grayskull hoodie's still fresh, but I support.
You turn yours inside out and wash it.
My shit got little fuzz balls and everything on it. I've been using my shit. I wear's mine.
That's all right. We finna re up.
All right, no doubt. All right, so I guess without further ado, we should get right into the show. And I'm thinking about what I want to start with here.
Shout out to Todd Phoenix. I know y'all heard that interview.
And Killer got something to say.
Shout out to her.
Shout out to Todd Phoenix, no doubt. The interview series that you also heard, you know what I'm saying, to our faithful listeners.
Real deal.
No doubt. First topic on Hip Hop Digest is, and we'll start it out with the names. Mm-hmm. Travis Scott.
Oh shit.
Killer Mike. T.I. Young Thug. Fat Joe. All sign an amicus brief addressed to the Supreme Court stating that James Broadnax had his First Amendment rights violated. Broadnax, well, they presented the court. The court presented Broadnax rap lyrics, okay, for his sentencing for a pair of 2008 murders, okay? 40 pages of rap lyrics, Broadnax was found guilty and sentenced to death.
For his lyrics.
Well, they presented
murder.
That.
If he killed 2 people.
Yeah, yes. Y'all are tripping. Can't be anybody getting the death penalty off no goddamn music lyrics. Be more to it than that.
After Broadnax was found guilty, prosecutors presented the jury with 40 pages of rap lyrics written by the defendant, per the New York Times. The violent themes of the lyrics contributed to a nearly all-white jury's determination that Broadnax, who is black,
1858?
Should be...
So where is he located?
Should be sentenced to death. I believe this is Texas.
Oh, well.
Broadnax's execution date is scheduled for April 30th.
Oh, God damn!
He might not make it, because this Texas we talking about, boy.
That usually takes years, don't it?
Man, Texas is throwing a switch on niggas, B. So,
Texas.
So, but B, what about the double standard? Okay, I hear what you're saying, that nigga's tripping, but there is a clear double standard here because neo-Nazi hard rock, you know what I'm saying, or anti-Semitic hard body shit is out there and them niggas is free. And when they get sentenced on, you know, if they were selling methamphetamines or they get sentenced for this or that or murders, and it's just straight.
Hold on, B. The whole story has not been given because I'm unfamiliar, but what I heard was somebody got the death penalty because of the lyrics. And I crammed to understand what was he found guilty of that they used the lyrics for?
Okay, let me read this again. Broadnax was found guilty, okay, for a pair of 2008 murders. Now, I don't know the details of the murders, but this is the key thing. The prosecution presented the jury with 40 pages of his lyrics. Okay?
Yes.
And obviously it was violent lyrics or whatever. It was probably gangster lyrics or whatever. Okay, why would they need to present rap lyrics? If you're charging him with murder, then you present the evidence of the murder. What does the rap lyrics got to do with it?
Right. Correct. Okay. So what they're doing, what those attorneys are doing, sir, is they were showing him to be right or wrong, however you want to take it. You know how attorneys work, B. And even if the judge strikes it, you have put that in front of the jury. So, I would, if I'm his attorney, I'm thinking, you know, well, why are you bringing these lyrics into it? They have nothing to do with the crime, right? But if they did have something to do with the crime, which we know people have done.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
Okay. Okay. So, in that case, King Von and to a situation that didn't work in the case of Young Thug in Atlanta, they did, but they tied the actual lyrics to actual crime.
Yes, correct.
Those niggas was rhyming about circling O Block and wetting X, Y, and Z.
Explicitly.
Right. And then saying the name of who they murdered.
Yes.
That's a lot different than just a cat who's running around, you know what I'm saying, talking about, you know, I'm spraying up the block with my AK. I don't know. First of all, on this show, I don't know the details of the murder. And number two, the amicus brief was filed to the Supreme Court. Now, with this particular Supreme Court, that nigga, he might as well get his last meal together because Clarence and them niggas, forget about it.
It's over for him.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate, and we are not going to gloss over the fact that somebody was murdered.
No.
Right.
We're not going to gloss over that. Okay?
Which is fine.
Yeah. I don't think anyone is saying, you know, that we trying to get him out. I think the amicus brief is saying he shouldn't be sent to death row based on 40 pages of rap lyrics.
I don't think he's being sent to death row.
Well, he's on death row, but
I'm saying I don't think he's sent to death row because of the rap lyrics.
Bullshit.
I'm believing with the very little knowledge that I have of
right,
this,
indeed,
that the lawyer is trying to pile on. And is that right? No, it's not right. No, but they're piling on. That's what they're doing. And they made it easy for that almost all white jury, or is it all white? I don't know, but they made it easy.
It says almost all white.
And they made it easy for that jury and whichever person of color was in that box to say, oh yeah, he killed them and he writing all this crazy shit. He got to go. Now, I am not saying that that's an ethical way to do it, but I'm telling you that's how it works in court. They're going to paint you as the darkest, ugliest demon that they can. And there were two people killed. So people are going to... Bottom line, I don't think they should do that. I don't think they should use the fucking lyrics unless it says specifically, I shot so-and-so on this day and did that. You know what I'm saying? In that case. But why are you bringing... I'm on your side. Why are you bringing 40 pages of rap lyrics that don't even relate to this case?
What? And I think that's all... Rap. I think that's all the amicus brief is saying is that you can't use rap lyrics that have nothing to do with that. And two, look, B, the obvious double standard and shit, you can go back, let's say we go back 10 years of jurisprudence. I'm damn sure that you can find any number of skinhead and neo-Nazi rock group members who fucking got hammered for any number of crimes or whatever. But are they bringing in those motherfucking Hitler's tapes?
We have to do some case study.
Yeah,
I'm honestly gonna do.
I don't know, but I can almost guarantee it that we're neo-Nazi, we're skinhead, Klan, whatever, were those CDs and tapes brung in? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to say probably not.
Probably not is what I'm going to say. But
however, I am going to do a slight search and see.
And this ain't even really the first time they have really been trying they've been all, you know, trying to put hip hop imagery, hip hop lyrics, you know what I'm saying? That type of thing. Or he walked in the mall and his hat was turned backwards. It's not allowed in this county.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's citation. Oh, now you're trespassing because you didn't leave fast enough.
Right. Exactly.
It just goes on and
did
on.
Did you try
and
to take your hand away from me? That's resisting arrest.
It gone.
Yep. So yes, I am my left brain, whichever one is the logical side, is saying two people were murdered. He got found guilty of that, and these lawyers are just trying to make sure he got the death penalty.
But you know what? The reason why I think it's gratuitous, because number one is Texas, and they don't have no problem putting niggas on death row for the most. I'm not going to say little shit, but you know what I'm saying?
You can pretty much get a chance that you about to be on
that road. Yes.
Right.
Just for the two murders alone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't even think it was a situation where they needed to do that. But I think it's just the hubris of the judicial system in a place like Texas.
B, you've been to court. You've been on jury duty. You know how these attorneys do. They work on your humanity. They work on humanity, B. And if this person, and again, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not. I don't agree with it. But for them to make the perpetrator look as bad as possible,
son. If you can,
they didn't need to put the lyrics, B.
I think if we were on the jury and then minus the lyrics, and we went through there, and we're at a disadvantage because I don't have the details of the crime here. I don't have the details of the crime or whatever. The crime could be egregious, and I'd be like, yo, nah, bro, fuck that nigga. Yo, you know what I'm saying? It could be that egregious.
Right, but without the lyrics.
Yeah, without the lyrics.
Without the lyrics.
You know what I mean? So, you know. All right, yo.
That's not new, though, B.
I need you to do me one favor.
What's up?
B, so I could chime in on this real quick.
All right.
Could you go back and tell me, you said you read the names, and one of those names stood out to me like a fucking sore thumb.
Oh, Travis Scott, Killer Mike, T.I., Young Thug.
Stop.
Oh.
I would have told that nigga, please. Thanks for the support, but please don't say nothing.
But
I don't want them to see your name on any piece of paper that has to do with me trying to get out of jail.
Yeah, but Young Thug is a poster boy for that, because them cats in Atlanta was using his lyrics.
Yep.
You know, saying this on this date when this song is released, X number of murders took place.
Yes, sir. But just like Mr. Green just said, B, when they see his name on that piece of paper, they're going to be like, oh, okay. They got a club.
Okay.
But niggas that talk shit and then get locked up, and now you want you to let them out.
Well, first of all, I don't think it really matters anyway, because with this particular Supreme Court, damn, I hate to say it, but your boy look like he might be catching that hot one.
Yeah, he's done. I'm going to tell you that it probably
is. And that is unfortunate.
It's not unfortunate if he took two lives.
Well, okay. All right, I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that.
No, it's not unfortunate, but the only part is that, like you said, they had to take and use these extra lyrics to dump on top of the shit. Like, the murders alone should have been enough to tell for the jury to be like, you know what, this nigga's done.
But it is, especially in the United States, but in the United States, it is the perpetual slippery slope. And it is the artist who is, whether if he's fronting like a gangster or a drug dealer, you know what I'm saying? I'm Des Moines, Iowa, you know, fentanyl king, and I'm rapping about selling fentanyls, and then little Becky overdoses on fentanyls while having my CD in the player, and they're going to say, it was him who drove Becky to do it. It opens up that perpetual slippery slope.
All the way back to Tupac. Remember that kid shot somebody and said, oh, I was listening to Tupac.
Tupac, yep. Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
This ain't new. This ain't new.
It is not.
They tried to hem Tupac up for that.
And, well, B, son, you know your history, so there you go.
A little bit, a little bit. But it is unfortunate, first, to the people who lost their lives and their family.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But it's also... unnecessary roughness by throwing a 40 pages of rap lyrics on there when he probably was going to get what he got without that.
No doubt. Probably. Yes. No doubt. All right. Next up, we're going to Hip Hop Digest. We're in Texas. We're going to stay in Texas.
Oh, shit.
Mm.
We're going to stay in Texas. This topic is Billboard peak. Ever since the big uproar, no rap records in the Billboard top 100 since 1990 or whatever the fuck it was, you know, I take just a peek, you know, just a little glimpse, as Jay-Z would say, of the Billboard.
It's gonna cost you.
And just to see what kind of rap guy is on there. And so at number 15 on the Billboard peak, all right, is a gentleman by the name of Don Toliver. Born in Houston, Texas. Apparently, he's a protege of Travis Scott, or he comes from that family tree. And his album, didn't even write the name of the album because it is god awful. But it is number 15 on the chart, and he is on tour heavy. I've seen a couple podcasters who are old enough to know better pumping this nigga. He's talking about the record is great. Sound like rattlesnakes and auto-tune to me. It's amazing how the style has not changed that much.
You're off that Elliot.
Hey. Hey, sorry, Atlanta, but other niggas from other areas is saying, fuck what y'all niggas doing. I'm going to take this whole style and continue to make money off of it. So, Mr. Don Toliver, yes. Apparently, his dad, unnamed, okay, was a singer, rapper, and was signed to Swisher House. And I looked diligently to find out who he was. No name. But that's what Wikipedia says. Now, I'm sure Wikipedia obviously can be wrong, so I won't, your boy, Don Toliver, at number 15, I didn't really even care enough to get the name of the album because I'm not recommending it. certainly nobody in our age group is going to be fucking with it. You know what I mean? On any
unless
level.
They have a podcast to sell.
Unless they old enough to know better.
Well, I mean, hey, what can I say? Mr. Toliver, young man, 31 years old, super paid. He's doing it. So congratulations to him. You know what I mean?
He's getting money.
Yeah, he's getting money.
Getting that bag.
He's getting money. And, you know, at the end of the day, B, what else is there? Got to tell you. At the end of the day, man, what else is there? Getting
money. There's a whole lot of life. Whole lot of life, but they'll learn later.
Yeah,
a
whole lot.
All right, no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Lil Yachty says Rapper's Delight was weak and it's full of nonsense. Lil Yachty, this is the first hip hop hit ever. Okay, Sugar Hill Gang, you know what I'm saying? Rapper's Delight. This by Lil Yachty.
Was he wrong?
I'm gonna tell you one thing that I learned watching Yachty. Yachty is not a dumb. He plays the dumbass very well. I don't think he's dumb. But number two, the thing I learned is that dinosaurs, old heads, veterans, whatever you want to call us, when we slap the fire out these young kids, it hurts. It hurts.
It's been hurting for a long time, B. Fucking
hurts.
They're sick and tired of us.
And Yachty, and it's another thing about Yachty, too. The people, after Yachty said that, the people who diss Yachty came from all coast. It was West Coast niggas, old head niggas, even some young heads, even some young kids on a podcast was like, Yachty, why would you even say that? This, if it isn't for, doesn't, if Sugar Hill Gang don't blow, you're not who you are. So they were at least
conscious enough,
yes,
to know that this started somewhere.
But along with when we slap and we slapping the fire out of somebody, Yachty maintains the classic, especially Atlanta, that it is up north niggas who are the problem. You look back at Yachty dissing, it is always up north niggas. It's never West Coast niggas. Forget about Texas niggas. Yachty don't want that smoke. You know what I'm saying? You know, but it's always up north niggas.
Well, did you turn the page after you read that story? Because on the next page,
oh shit,
Yachty was somewhere doing a freestyle.
Oh yeah, I did.
And it was.
I did unfortunately waste. I did unfortunately waste 10 seconds of my life listening to that.
He should have no nerve to talk about something being bad when you put that supposed freestyle or off, whatever the hell it was, out. It was. I watched it because I, you know, for the integrity of the Hip Hop Digest show, I didn't want to just speak on it. I said, let me watch and see
took
just
one
how
for the team.
Bad. Yeah, I took it for the team and I watched the whole thing so I could say, yo, you should never speak ill of anyone's rapping skills. But he did it.
But yeah, but see, you have to remember Yachty, you know, how he part and parcel makes his living is part of the attention. You know, I got to draw attention to myself. I have to say, and now let me get back to Yachty's intelligence. Yachty is intelligent enough to know that his concentrated, he has the diss up north niggas, and he has the diss old head rap, you know, to people he know will respond. That's what I'm saying. When old head niggas slap, I mean, I saw all kinds of motherfuckers just blowing this young nigga up, but he knows that. And okay, you know, and then it's funny what he was saying. They was like, Cats was like, damn, Yachty, so this is the first hit record. What do you mean weak to what? Really, nothing really existed before that hit record, largely. I mean, there was hip hop there.
I say, be careful.
No,
be
careful. There was hip hop around. But we're talking about records.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Rapper's Delight.
Commercially.
Well, B, but even Rapper's Delight wasn't commercial until it went triple platinum. B, Sugar Hill was not a major label.
No, it was not. We're not talking about the label. We're talking about the record itself.
It wasn't commercial until it was after it sold 3 million records, B.
Okay.
I don't know. Rappers Delight came out. It's just like any other 12-inch, okay? Most people was like, oh, it's that novelty shit. Okay, as a party record, novelty shit. But guess what? Something along the way happened. It blew the fuck up.
It did. Yes, it did.
So even calling it commercial when commercial rap didn't even exist.
Right.
I think it's a slap.
It opened the door for commercial rap.
It opened the door for everybody. Even the people in the culture at that time. Look, because we know the history, partially based on stolen lyrics. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Definitely, you know, Sylvia Robinson together. Husband, you know, she produced the record. He's mobbed up, you know.
We
know the history, but at the end of the day, there's Yachty dissing because he felt like, or at least what he said, I don't think he really felt like anything. I think he just saw an opportunity to say, y'all act like we're the first generation to say nonsense. And that sugar, and then of course, you know the way he was imitating the Sugar Hill Gang and the enunciation and shit like that. Yeah. I thought it was actually kind of funny, but I was like, "Yo, this nigga, yo, he wildin'." But we slapped the fire out of him, and he was expecting that.
You think he was?
I think he was expecting that. Getting
he was. I'll say it like this: he was definitely expecting old head niggas to get at him for saying what he said. He was expecting that part. Probably not so much maybe some of his peers or people that are closer to his age actually defending the Sugar Hill Gang record. But I know he definitely had to be expecting the niggas just getting at him. Old school niggas, he had to be expecting that 100%.
But then, B, you got to think about this, too. We're talking about Rapper's Delight. And Rapper's Delight still gets played at weddings.
Yeah.
Rapper's Delight still gets played at quarter office changes. And office, yeah, offers office parties and
sporting events.
And weddings and second to third quarter NBA games. And Rapper's Delight still gets played today.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
does. So you're saying how many Yachty records get played?
B, Yachty records from 3 years ago, if there even is such a thing, don't get played.
I don't know. I met him at the airport. He was cool.
Yeah, but it's not like you're going to sit down and have a conversation with that nigga.
No, his bodyguard was making sure none of that was happening.
Yeah, well, again, but I'm just saying, just in general. And then, too, other people were critiquing him. In the middle of Black History Month, you're going to jump on a white podcast and say that. Now, I wasn't going to jam me. I wasn't going to run him up the flagpole on a racial issue. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm just putting out the view of folks out there. But again, Yachty is not a dumb guy. He needs attention. So, damn, let me go at the first record. Let me, as a person who fucking, I don't know how old Yachty was, whatever, he was born in 2003 or whatever, you know. Fucking Rapper's Delight came out in 79. And so right. To him, whatever they were saying is nonsense. But then, like you said, if you went to the second page and you listen to what he was saying, does he?
But he's Yachty, making, like you said, he's not dumb. So if he's not dumb, that freestyle was on purpose, doing a bunch of gibberish, dumb shit, just to show you that, see, these other niggas did that dumb shit. It's dumb to them. All this hip-hop, hippity-hip-hop, that's trash. Y'all call my shit trash, but I'm not the only one that did trash. The people y'all love did trash, too. The first rappers did trash. You know, this is the started with trash.
I wonder, I wonder if he could have picked a lot of eras because there is a lot of trash hip-hop records out there.
Of course there are.
And from up north niggas. So I'm not defending it like that. He could have picked a lot of trash.
There's ones that even get scrubbed from the internet.
Yeah, well. But like you said, B, he's not dumb. And the fact that he heard that record, I think it was more organic than that. I think the record was playing one day. Like you said, it plays at sporting events. It plays at all these things. And he probably heard it and actually sat down and listened to it when it was playing. Like, I see all these people looking around. They had a basketball game or whatever. And they're doing this shit word for word. This shit sounds like trash to me. This is nonsense music. And they love it. Look at them. But they talk about me. Why are they talking about me? But they love this shit. So him going on somebody's show after seeing it at a basketball game or wherever he was at, and saying, yo, the first record is talking nonsense. And y'all talk about me.
You guys fell for the trap.
Damn. Once again.
Because what do I tell you non-social media niggas all the time? What do I tell you?
Clickbait.
So when you go back.
It's value.
When you go back and listen to the show, you hear me say that young Yachty is in the attention getting space. He yes. knows that if yes. he says this, that old head niggas are going to slap the fire. I did say that, B. You so I don't think it. I fell
so maybe
for
now
it.
You are getting the understanding of it. Because guess what? We're talking about fucking Yachty on the fucking Hip Hop Digest show.
Yeah, but you know what?
Yachty.
That's true. I'll give you that. But more importantly, and I started it out like this, that shit will not, and this is the thing. This is why I think this fucks with Yachty's generation. Like, these motherfuckers, I should be able to get away with this clear. Instead of having 50-year-old, 60, 70-year-olds on every platform light me up. Because when we slap niggas, it hurts. And Yachty, I think he expected it. But that's what kind of drives him, too. He's like, damn, nigga, I'm in my prime and shit. You know, I'm a do me. I'm the man and shit. not
that Target
expecting
commercial getting kind of old.
hit what prime?
Not expecting. First of all, number one, not expecting
Dallas
his
prime, San Francisco prime,
damn,
or Colorado prime.
Ooh. Okay, I feel you. All right, shout to Dion. Not expecting niggas who he clearly doesn't respect slap the fire out of his ass and always come with a full-throated and strong response. I think a lot of these kids, that's when you hear that, damn, I wish these motherfuckers would let us be stars. Let us.
It's a win for him, B. Still a win for him, however you want to look at it. It's a win.
I believe it's a win. Yeah, I believe it's a win.
He made noise in this climate. Yeah, he made noise on the algorithm. He made a lot of movement. So people are paying attention to him. He got a lot of clicks. So, yeah, it's a win-win for him.
It is. No, I agree. I agree. So
even the dissing of his clip is... this shit is not new. They said it a long time ago. All something is good something.
All publicity is good publicity.
All publicity is good publicity. That's what these cats are living through. It don't matter what it is. You be fighting with your baby mama. And you post that.
Yeah. No doubt. All right, man. Let's move off of that then. All right.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Here we go. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. Again, make Atlanta great again.
Oh, my goodness.
A different type of MAGA hat.
Yeah.
Swerve. Let me see you kill it with that Atlanta Falcons colored MAGA hat on.
Son, Swerve, you should be a little bit somebody. You should be a little bit happy. The NBA. I'm on the wrong thing.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold
on.
Hold on.
I was finished.
The NBA cancels the Atlanta Hawks planned Magic City tribute night.
As they should have.
So here we go. So
you
Swerve.
You want to see those scrippers dancing out at halftime?
So let me give you the breakdown though, yo. So Swerve sends me the clip. Right? D1 and some unknown young nigga. So D1 is on the clip saying, damn, why do we have an NBA team at an NBA event doing this celebration of a gentleman's club? He didn't say it like that, but I'm trying to fix it up here.
The nudie bar.
Yeah. So, and then under, of course, you know how the social media thing do. Under the clip, this nigga goes on an entire dissertation, my G. The dissertation is, number one, how it... Magic City is like some type of college. Like, this is where the young girls or the girls show up and make a lot of money so they can go out and become boss bitches like they are. I personally, he goes on to diss broke niggas, okay?
Yep.
And then, you know, was doing this, you know, he's out here posing, like, flexing like he in a Mr. Olympia, right? I personally, nigga, you don't know what it's like to be up in Magic City and spend 100 racks. Like, this nigga's proud of
only
spending.
Only an idiot would.
I know he's a young nigga, and I don't know how he's getting his money, but hey, he's getting money and proud that he spent
his
100.
Was shimmery.
Proud that he spent $100,000 in the strip club. You know, lighting D1 up, and any other nigga, if you ain't from Atlanta, don't speak on Atlanta. This is like a gentleman's club. Now, don't get me wrong. I get it. It's a gentleman's club. My only one and only time in Atlanta, I went by there. I took a picture of the club. I didn't go in. Because I'm broke.
You said you got kicked out?
When you was trying to hang out? The waitress bumped into us and spilled the drink, and they tried to make me pay for the fucking drink.
Mm.
And I said, I'm not paying for that drink. You know, you got to go. And this dude was like 6'25". So I was like,
so anyway,
I got to go. So anyway, I left.
So anyway, I went by there, took a picture of the club. I get it, but obviously, like I said, I didn't go in. All that being said, I just thought, is there anybody at the league office, eventually somebody must have said, what the fuck? And who at the Atlanta Hawks level thought that that was part. A good idea?
That part.
So, Kurt G, help me. How does this even happen?
Whoop, there it is. Let me tell you. Like you said, how the fuck did it get past the executive level? I can see the players level saying, oh, yeah, let's do that shit. I can even see a couple of niggas on the assistant level, coaches level saying, you know what? Yeah, I'll be up in that joint. I can even see maybe some lower level niggas in the executive branch being like, I've frequented the spot a few times. But the owner, my nigga, the absolute owner of the team, that shit should have been just vetoed, bank. It's out of here, nigga. We ain't doing that. Not here.
Right.
It can't happen. We don't want that image here. If we ain't fucking with Mike Vick and some dogs, my nigga.
Oh, my goodness. Whew.
We not fucking with this. It's just not happening, B.
In a statement, the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, said that he believed canceling Magic City Mondays was the right decision for the broader NBA community.
Clearly, but it shouldn't even have been to that statement. It should have already been when it was even promulgated. Get that shit out of here.
The March 16 celebration would have featured a live performance by Atlanta native T.I. In their press release announcing the promotion, the team said visitors would also have the opportunity to try two versions of Magic City's renowned chicken wings. And purchase a special hoodie commemorating event. Nigga, this is as bad as Hammer dancing for chicken, my nigga. I mean, this whole shit is sideways. And more importantly, a gang, not this young nigga. Granted, a bunch of fucking sleaze stack ass NBA niggas is down with that shit. So first of all, look, them niggas.
Shout out to Bill Lambert.
Nigga said
he was a sleaze stack for real. If you didn't know that,
nigga. I'm being dead ass, and I'm gonna say it again. Look, these NBA niggas make more money than God. They a bunch of sleaze stack niggas with more money than sense. So of course they gonna be down. But it was the number of Atlanta niggas who is took offense to this shit. Like, all the motherfucking NBA fucking player hating. Nigga, what the fuck?
It's a business, B. Nigga. It's not a gentleman's club business.
Nigga, this hoodies and chicken wing shit. I'm like, this whole
a,
shit
a
fucked
family
up.
Event.
Yeah, at a family event.
Yeah. It was wrong. I'm glad it's not happening. And I'm glad it's showing the people that are of that mentality. You are making yourself look even more stupid.
So,
but the sad part is they're not going to see that, B. They're not going to see how silly and stupid they look by trying to defend this shit in that type of way. I can see trying to defend it. For say if niggas is like, get that shit out of this neighborhood. We don't want that place here anymore. I can see that trying to defend him. Like, wait, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. But to this, like I said, a family place? You got fucking little kids in here.
Yep.
When you out here defending this?
Now, they were not going to be naked, but they were going to be pretty, you know.
Yeah, but you're still advertising the place.
Yes.
And these kids are impressionable. If they don't already know about it, they're looking it up. What is Magic City? While they're in the game, on their phones, what is Magic City? Oh, shit. Well, that's what Magic City is? Dad, did you know about Magic City?
After the Hawks announcement of the promotion, multiple players called on the team to cancel the event. San Antonio Spurs center Luke Kmet wrote on his blog, celebrating Magic City would reflect poorly on us as the NBA community. Okay, and then
if
goes
you ain't
on
from
to
Atlanta, nigga.
Yup, there you go.
Don't speak on Atlanta business.
Exactly. Exactly.
That did happen, Curtis.
He said the National Basketball Association would be complicit in the objectification and mistreatment of women in our society. I can't even believe it that people at the Atlanta Hawks office He shouldn't even have got the Adam Silver. Yo, son, we want to celebrate Atlanta. What, y'all niggas, you MLK right there.
Y'all got a lot of stuff to celebrate besides Magic City, B. A lot.
B, the Martin Luther King Museum right there. That's a ground ball, my G.
You know, Killer, do you realize, like, listen, we know time is subjective or whatever, objective. But we look at Martin Luther King, who was here almost 60 years ago. He left here, right?
Okay, yeah.
And he has become a martyr in a book or a month, a year, a day. But these kids don't care about that. It's not tangible. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Jesse Jackson, these people
dinosaurs.
They're not tangible anymore to these kids, B. They're just characters in a book.
So their sacrifice is allowing these kids to act like knuckleheads goes unnoticed.
Absolutely.
So you mean to tell me, B, so let me go back to this really quickly. I'm going to get your take on this. Who are the fucking idiots at the Atlanta Hawks office and ownership?
Pick a card, any card.
Exactly. From the top down.
You remember when I asked you, when I asked you a while back when we were talking about this on the show about people at the NFL office, who is allowing GMs to ask African-American players about their mom being hookers or hustlers?
Yeah, it's insane.
What the crazy fuck?
What's that got to do with your ability to play this game?
Exactly.
And
obviously you're good because I'm sitting here talking to you.
Them niggas would never ask Tom Brady about is his mom a hooker or a hustler. Only African-American players.
Man,
so again, if I own the Atlanta Hawks, I'm firing the entire GM down. I'm firing everybody.
That ain't gonna happen.
No, I won't, but I'm just saying, everybody needs to get fired.
This will be forgotten next week, B.
Yeah, it's already forgotten.
Damn.
It's already forgotten.
Damn.
They just found to figure out how the accountability stage right now. Like, okay, from now on, we need to vet these things before we go ahead and say we're gonna do it.
Fucking hoodies.
I mean, it's outrageous.
Fucking hoodies and chicken wings.
No offense to Magic City, because there is a place for
there's,
that.
There is a place for Jet Rock,
exactly.
In this world that we live in, there's a place for that.
Right.
But that place is not in an NBA game.
No. No.
Or an NFL game. Or an MLB. Or hockey, which you would never fucking see. So, it was stupid. And when I saw it, that's why I immediately sent you that link. I was like, is this real? They are mad?
And so, I'm going to get out of the topic. But, gee, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you about the typical Atlanta. What is the typical Atlanta nigga who was offended by the NBA canceling that? What is the typical Atlanta nigga who is bragging about spending $100,000 in a particular strip club?
Well, I'm going to do it more general.
Okay.
Because I can't speak on Atlanta business because I'm not from Atlanta.
Okay, all right.
So I'm going to do more generalization.
Okay.
And the type of nigga that brags about spending a lot of money on shit that he's not going to be able to make anything back from is the type of nigga who likes to show off a lot. The type of nigga that'll ride around the block in a poor neighborhood in a $100,000 car. The type of nigga that will pull up to the strip club or any club and walk and go up to the VIP and talk down on niggas. Mm. Like, send your bitch up.
Mm.
Leave that nigga down there. That's your nigga? Mm. You want to be up here with me?
Mm.
That's the type of nigga that does that type of shit.
Mm.
So, niggas who will be mad about motherfuckers talking about some shit and they're right, as my grandma say, don't be loud and wrong at the same time.
Mm. Mm.
These niggas is loud and wrong. And I don't understand why you would even be upset, especially when you see that the situation is what it was. It's a family event. I know you can't see it that way. From your eyesight, all you see is Magic City and niggas going against Magic City. Maybe you love Magic City. That's good for you. But what Magic City is, if you actually take the blinders off and see what it is, and then you look around this NBA building and you look around at the crowd that's in here, do you really think that belongs in here? Just look. Mm.
Swerve was like, his kids up in there and shit. And just
B, I don't understand. B, you let it look for 1 second. B, take your pride and put it to the side.
See, them it's sleestack niggas. Tell you that right now. So get out of this topic. The one time I was in Atlanta, come from a party and shit, and I overheard a nigga did say, shit, nigga, you better get with me now, because after the end of the night, I'm on tilt. I'm going broke tonight. And I was like, okay, my man. That's what's up. Wow. All right, next topic of the Hip-Hop Digest. It's your boy saying The Wire. It makes me sick to see how far we done fell.
And
niggas, and listen for a long time.
Real quick, I was saying how these certain folks are relics, right? Jesse Jackson just left here.
He did, yes, sir.
So, again, we mentioned the things that he'd done on his time that he has to answer to for whatever. So be it. But he, again, risked his life so this clown could be on the internet talking his craziness. Yeah. But I would imagine that him, Jesse, seeing where we are, because Martin didn't get a chance to see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Malcolm X didn't get a chance to see where we are. Meg Evers and so on and so on and so on. But for Jesse to live this long after being a part of the change that allows this stuff, that must have been a very interesting part of his life to live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be heartbreaking, B. It's got to be heartbreaking to see some shit like that. To be like, damn, this is what we do. You say risk my life. Standing out here marching and having motherfuckers sick dogs and shoot us water hoses and shit. So
punch
y'all,
me in my face
exactly,
just because
and talk shit. Call me nigga to my face. You know what I'm saying? Just so you can sit up here and talk about, don't talk about Atlanta business if you ain't from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. For a strip club, my nigga?
Strip club.
For a strip club, B. Not a
no offense to Magic City. Like, there's
no shade to Magic City, but in this case, B, there's shade to the niggas that's defending Magic City.
Correct.
And because it shouldn't be in an NBA event.
Nope.
Well, all right. There we go. That's what's up. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is your man. He's staying in my personal doghouse. I respect the hell out of him, though.
Oh shit! Who is this?
Michael Eric Dyson.
Oh
yeah, you told me he was gonna get it. Let
your
me
boy.
Sit up.
Okay,
see what we
so
got going.
Your boy Michael Eric Dyson, Professor Michael Eric Dyson. Let's address him correctly.
Educated.
In defense of Drake,
he was defending Drake.
He was defending Drake.
Oh, dang.
Okay. Let me give it to you simple. In defense of Drake, he compared Kendrick Lamar's record, Not Like Us, to Donald Trump's political identity movement. Meaning that Kendrick Lamar tried to de-black Drake and used the Donald Trump architecture to de-black him and to have him say he is just a Canadian Jewish white boy. He ain't like us. That's something Trumpa do. He said he othered Drake and did a whole fucking dissertation talking about niggas don't know what time it is and don't really understand. You know, first of all, disrespecting all kinds of motherfuckers. You know, I don't even know if Kendrick realizes, you know, maybe his handlers don't really got him, you know, realizing what he doing and then doing that to Drake to try to other him. And Drake is a fantastic artist and is a wonderful artist. You sound like a Drake fan.
Also, that's what he spoke on Drake. He spoke highly of Drake.
Oh, he hella high of Drake.
Unbelievable.
With the Gucci bandana.
Yeah, with the Gucci bandana. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Oh, I can't, but
nah, bro, you gotta watch his clip. He was like Drake, a fantastic and wonderful artist, and some of the best we got out here. Those are his words. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, yo, your boy was defending the hell out of Drake, and basically saying Kendrick really kind of used that, you know. But maybe Kendrick didn't realize and didn't know what he was doing. So.
Did Drake not know what he was doing? Did he listen to, did he analyze any of Drake's responses in this bullshit?
So, yeah, I often wonder about that wife-beating charge and shit that Drake tried to throw on Kendrick, and amongst other things.
Yeah, but that wasn't real.
But look, so this is beside the point that blog niggas got on that nigga immediately. And I don't want to go down this lane, but Hov called... text that nigga and basically said, you don't know what the fuck you talking about. This was a rap battle and he lost.
Oh, he can speak on that.
But that's
the one person that can speak on
this. So my biggest problem throughout the years with Professor Dyson, and he's wrote a few Tupac books, and he fancies himself like a hip hop scholar. But what my beef with Professor Dyson is that he doesn't know hip hop, and a lot of his assumptions be mad wrong. How can you miss that this was a battle, and it was a hip hop battle returning to the days when you seen the top guys fight for the crown a la Hov? He was in those wars. He's a top guy, but he was in those wars.
He's not. He doesn't know hip hop. B. I'm gonna say
no. He doesn't.
He went intellectual.
Okay. Thank you for that, because I would have missed a very important point.
Shit.
No, I'm serious. Irv's right. He went intellectual, and a lot of times that's what's wrong with black intellectuals who want to come in and talk about how fucked up rap is, because they intellectual, but they don't know hip hop. He knows a lot about rap, and I think he's a fan of Pac, and I think he's a fan of Drake, and I think he's a fan of that ilk. And there's nothing wrong with, of course, fandom, but when you don't know hip hop, and to sit up here to say that he used a Trump playbook to other this nigga. And like you said, obviously you listened to a lot of Not Like Us, but you didn't listen to a lot of what Drake was saying about Kendrick and other niggas. Or about you know, sleeping with broads and feeling sorry for broads, but I still had to put them out on the street type lyrics. The fuck? Bruh, you this is hip hop, man. Come on in, son. Learn something. You're an intellectual nigga. Your man got beat. Straight up. All right.
We got whooped. He didn't get beat.
A year and a half ago. He got 2 years whooped.
What was
that shit? Wow. I am really shocked.
Of all the things that Professor Dyson could have spoke on. And again, and intellectuals get this wrong every time. They want to come and they want to speak on hip hop, and they want to speak on, you know, we need to have a better world outreach when it comes. There's a lot of other things. I don't hear anybody. I don't hear the intellectual niggas. He should be talking about fucking Spotify and streaming niggas is straight out robbing niggas. All niggas, with the exception of your man is getting paid. But you know what I'm saying? Nah,
he getting robbed,
and he getting well.
He's getting more than what he's getting.
He's getting, yeah, no doubt. But I don't know, B. I and this ain't the first time I got beef that goes back way back with him wrong hip hop assumptions, totally to left feet. Because you're right, he went intellectual. You're right. Yeah. I thank you for that.
All good, brother. Because you know, I don't know him personally, but in my RIAA days, I did have interaction. I told you he remembered my name when I saw him the next time in Philly or whatever it was. So I'm not going to knock his hip hop, but I'm going to say in this instance, he may have been trying to sow another seed or something. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
And unfortunately, it all got washed away. Then you couldn't really study it because once he put Hov's name into it, it became all about Hov and that type of shit. And of course, now he got up there and apologized to Hov. He apologized to Hov straight all on camera. I was wrong. I should have never put his name in a private text. He texted me. We agree, and he agreed with me virulently, you know. And I know when it came right down to it, you know, Hov was just like, nigga, you know what the fuck you talking about? You know what you're talking about?
And he would reach out about that, even but his name, because the world knows. Well, not all, because there are people who say Jay-Z won that battle. There are those people, but you know.
And that's fine. And being, look, and folks can have any opinion you want. And you're right. There are those who, yeah, Hov. Okay. Yeah. Fine. All right. Go. Good luck with that. All right. I'm good with you. Yeah, good luck to you with that information. And the same thing applies here. You know what I mean? You can, you know, I'm going to put my, I don't hear you. You can do
the world heard that. Kendrick though. It sure did.
Yeah,
the
no
whole
doubt.
World heard that shit.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, but yes, so it really ended up, unfortunately, really being about Hov and him putting Hov's name on the street when basically Hov, and I can't paraphrase, I bet it was similar to, like, you just don't know what you're talking about. This was just simply a battle and your man lost. And that's all it was. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
That's it. Nobody got hurt. Yeah. Physically.
Right. Feelings got hurt.
Somebody's lawyer got a hell of a retainer about it, too.
That shit. Drake's lawyer is still getting checks from that nigga. Like, yes, let's not make this shit go away. Let's make it last forever. Key Sweat style, my nigga.
Wow. Damn. That's what's up. So, shout to Professor Dyson. I believe that he still needs a particular hip-hop training because he gets so many assumptions wrong a lot of times, you know, because he goes straight intellectual. And then too, you know, what a slap in the face. You know, what a slap in the face to Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? You know, shit, as far as I'm concerned, that was so true, not like us. You know,
he said it was true.
No, because I've been in this game a little bit too long, and from day one I was like, yeah, this is the guy.
He was.
That's the guy.
This is your kid.
Well, maybe we'll have to see when that record comes out if he's still the guy.
I mean, look, I'm sure he'll do well, but mine. Opinion has always been, this is the guy, this is your king. But again,
he ain't hip hop.
Well, but still, like Kurt G or I'm not sure if it was you or Kurt G always pointed out, the difference is that, you know, that was always a transitory thing here because it was always the representing, the best representative for hip hop.
Yes.
See, this is transferred because this is about representing for him. Mm-hmm. Hip hop be damned.
Right.
This nigga may honestly never mind, like, oh, nigga, I can do anything and my cult will never leave me.
Yeah.
The shit wasn't hip hop, nigga.
Nope.
And we've said this a million times. In the classic sense of hip hop, if you get caught violating, I don't care who you are.
Anybody can get it.
I don't care who y'all.
They'll catch a bullet scar.
I'm just saying. And there's a lot of people who got jammed up. Again, we always use Big Daddy Kane as an example of that. But shit, he ain't the only one. Fucking
no,
Snoop.
We use somebody whose video got wiped from the internet. Well,
yeah.
I'll let that go.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt. But I'm just saying, let's do it in real time. You know, Who's a fucking clownish motherfucker out there today? Snoop.
Ooh wee.
Yo, that motherfucker. Ooh wee. See that motherfucker at the Olympics and shit.
Ooh, nigga, he's playing all this character, shit. B.
Good God Almighty.
Playing his character.
God damn, B. Yes, but I'm just saying.
Step and fetch it, 2026.
Nigga, but no one, you know, no one can take away the classics and Murder's the Case and the Doggy Styles and all the classics. You know, hip hop. But. Yeah, but
anybody can get it.
That's tarnished, B.
But. Oh, I'm yeah. Oh, B. That shit. Nigga.
It ain't like he has a.
But see, here's where you're going to get caught at.
Okay.
Let's go.
It's tarnished, but only in the eyes of dinosaurs is it tarnished. He's
Wait,
getting
we're not
the,
dinosaurs no more.
He's getting. No, that's right. We're not dinosaurs. We're veterans.
Okay.
We're veterans.
we're veterans in this thing here. But he's only tarnished in the eyes of veterans like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. in the eyes of these young boys, he's getting the bag.
Getting
and that's
the
all
bag.
That matters. He's getting the bag and y'all niggas hating because
okay.
he's getting the bag.
So let me continue. Okay. Yeah. Snoop, Andre 3000. Fuck that. This nigga with that fucking oboe shit and all this, man, too old.
Damn, we done went from flute to oboe.
Nigga gonna be playing the timpani next.
Nigga, I'm just saying. B, I'm just saying, B, it don't matter. That's why I'm
Woodwinds.
B,
that's
I'm
his new
running
B, right?
through. B, I can
Woodwinds
run through
3000.
I can run through the veterans who are in complete violation, diametrically opposed. Doing what they want to do. Everybody got a free will, no doubt. But as far as hip hop goes, shit, nigga, penalties and there's a price to pay.
There is yes.
anybody, so I can keep going. You know what I'm saying? I can keep going, but I won't.
No need.
Yeah, I won't.
I think the point is made. We will have to. Who knows? One day, Doctor, he may end up on here one day. Who knows?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
All right, I'll put that in my
so no doubt. All right, so I think we're ready. I think we're ready for the team.
Uh-oh. We're ready. I'm ready.
What team? Oh, see, he's trying to run you over.
No, I didn't.
He said he's ready.
I paused. I said we're ready for the team.
Well, while he's getting that ready.
I didn't even say.
I got it ready.
Okay.
While we're getting ready.
Right, well, but wait, let's do that. On the way out, let's talk about something special.
All right. So we didn't really pretty much mention it during the show, but as of this month, we have been doing the Hip Hop Digest unbelievably for 20 years. It's absolutely amazing.
20 years and still two broke. Decades. Wow. We consistently broke all these years.
Consistently.
Broke ass niggas.
Broke ass podcast niggas.
Yeah, can't spend 100 racks down at Magic City. Niggas.
Can't even make a penny.
Yeah,
I'm going to
be
shit.
Broke.
Oh, for real.
So anyway, we celebrate in 20 years. And so, you know, what we do a little bit at each show is maybe bring up the memories, good things, bad things, maybe indifferent things about mm-hmm. the show, our philosophy, and how we get down. I'm gonna say it because we already talked about it. Me and Kurt G really have a fond memory of our brother, E. Color.
Oh boy.
It is one of the cherished memories of our show. We're coming in and we're doing the show, and we're midst in the show, doing the show. Whatever topic it was, man, he went nuts.
It triggered something.
It triggered something in him. And so he goes on, and you got to hear his voice, where he's trying to get his kids to school. And our man, this is one of our cherished memories in the 20 years. Our man is like, it's 6 o'clock in a goddamn morning. I'm trying to get my babies off to school and shit. And then here come this ghetto ass hood rat playing all that. Let me put it in you. Let me stick it in you. It is 6 o'clock in the goddamn morning. The way he said it, it was absolutely a moment.
God,
oh boy.
It still heats me up when I think about it. It's crazy. I ain't gonna lie. It's why we are. That was, let's say that was 18 years ago when that happened, or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that was a long time ago.
That moment is magnified now.
Oh yeah, by a thousand,
indeed. So I have to say, between me and Kurt G, that is one of our cherished moments. We're gonna, as we go out the year, I think that we're gonna remember some things. I already got a list of things, so I'm not gonna flood the zone. You know what I'm saying? But I got some memories, not so, you know, cherished, and that was difficult for me too. And I will bring those up. You know, no doubt. You know, it's been 20 years, yo.
It's real over here. We grown ass men to deal with real life shit. Ain't nothing fake about us. We live in real life shit, and you get good, bad, and indifferent. Good, bad, and ugly. We get it.
No doubt. No doubt. So that's what's up. So now we're ready for the team.
There we go.
Here we go. I thought we were going to go around the room with it.
Go ahead, Kurt. No, you got something. Kurt's got something to say.
All right.
We're not ready for the team.
I had a thought while you were saying what you were saying. My man, go ahead.
I was like, you know what I appreciate? This is one of the appreciations for the show, is that the fact that we pretty much are the exact same as we started this show. It's not like we've changed that much. We've changed some things about the show, some things that people wish we'd continue to do about the show, and some things that we wish we could continue to do, but it's just not feasible. But I like the fact, like I said, that we pretty much stayed the same the whole time. We're always just us being us, which is why the show has been consistently done the way it's been done, because it's us. And it hasn't changed. As long as we're being us, we can continue to do this show the way we do this show. So that's what I appreciate about the show.
An episode that comes to mind for me is the MC Hammer discussion.
That was a raucous day that day, my nigga. That was just like niggas was just going crazy. I said, "Oh my goodness, what?" I missed that show, but I was mixing that shit. I was like, "Wow, these niggas was really going at it." Davey D was not having it.
Yeah, he's
like, "This is my man. You're not going to disrespect my man like this."
Definitely was riding for Hammer.
He was, and
Killer a couple of times. He was clutching his pearls. I'm like, "What's happening here?" But you know, it was a discussion that I didn't think would turn out like that. I didn't think it would turn out like that. But the riding for Hammer was so heavy that it didn't change my mind about anything, but it just made me think deeper, like, wow, this is for real, for real. Not to shit on Atlanta, but this is not like somebody from Atlanta saying Young Jock was that dude and arguing for Young Jock. He was nowhere near Hammer's level of success, fame, accolades. And though I just said those things out of my mouth, because of Hammer's art, it wasn't respectable to me. But Davey D came in here with the full 12-pound gloves on or whatever it is and was ready to throw down for his man, and he did. And that just was a very interesting show to me.
Very interesting show. I think the biggest lesson I took from that show was it probably, at least on the show, was my first real battle with region repping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not with just some person. This was Davey D.
This was Davey D, yeah. But I was like, as good a journalist as he is, and the way he covered the Public Enemy and the Paris and all of that type of hip-hop, but at his heart, nobody was going to diss Hammer, because he from Oakland, Hammer from Oakland, and this is straight ass region repping, period. So I learned a good lesson on region repping that day. So with that said, for the third time, are we ready for the team?
Yes, we are.
All right, here we are, the Digital Freaks, Peter and Matt. Sorry, fellas, I tried to get you in, but you're in now.
All right. This week brought to you by Matt, is 17 Cypher and Dozer the Drum Dealer, Sound Scoundrels. That's 17 Cypher and Dozer the Drum Dealer, Sound Scoundrels. And brought to you by Pete, is Baldy James, Ransom, and Nicholas Craven. Salvation for the Wicked. That's Baldy James, Ransom, and Nicholas Craven. Salvation for the Wicked.
Now, see, I wonder how Baldy holding up against Ransom.
Nobody's holding up against Ransom.
Holding against Ransom, but Baldy nice with his, though.
Okay, Baldy's got his own style. So he do what he do.
All right, see, when I get pairings like that, I'm just like, who is Baldy? Is he Kenny?
Now you're going to get a dissertation on the text chain from Peter.
Pete's going to go ahead and let you know that Baldy can hold his own.
I'm just saying, Ransom?
Yeah,
okay.
He's front of the class, B.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. All right. Thank you for the Digital Freaks for what you do, no doubt. Thank you for riding with us. You know what I'm saying? You know where to find us on the text chain. You know, same.
Right, that's right.
That type of thing. Group me.
20 years deep and we ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, group me, Hip Hop Digest, you know. Don't forget, if you're new, you got to declare the first three personal, and not your first three, your personal MC. It's getting late.
It's getting late.
Yeah, don't forget to declare when you get on the group me joint. So,
right.
I'm tired. Thank you for riding with us. Good night.
I'll let your man's in them.
One.